Welcome to the Modern Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Maren Altman. I'm an astrologer, author, and serial spiritual entrepreneur. This podcast features conversations around astrology, related spirituality, and provocative world events that we can all serve to take a bit of time to contemplate and engage with the modern magic around us. If you do appreciate this conversation, I would appreciate a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help out the show to reach more listeners. With that out of the way, let's engage in the present listening moment and hear about some modern magic. Hello, welcome back to the Modern Magic Podcast. Maren here, recording on a beautiful, beautiful New York day. It's actually pretty nice, the weather-wise here. And it's been a nice few days for me. Been an insane, insane week. I mean, from TikTok cancellation campaigns to being featured in Reuters, the high highs and the low lows finally seem to have evened out. And I'm very thankful today to have on the podcast a very, very special guest, a close friend of mine, longtime fellow astrologer and I guess friend, mentor, person that I just look up to on so many levels, Cameron Allen. We talk today about the spiritual awakening and lifestyle practices of the outer planetary transits because it's something that I have been writing about in my schoolwork. And Cameron, as an incredible herbalist, really understands how the human body and the mind, just the whole being, interact with outer planet transits. So a little bit about Cameron is that he started his journey of seeking understanding a long, long time ago with astrology, herbalism, and yoga. And he ventured then into a degree in psychology and working in the mental health field. And that led him to evolutionary astrology. And his degree in health and sports science and over 300 hours of hands-on physical therapy really allowed him to use his traditional work than to meet a higher calling when he began to learn natural law and study herbal medicine with the School of Evolutionary Herbalism. He's also a Reiki practitioner and combines his passions in a totally fresh and unique way to complement the varying disciplines and healing modalities to assist others in a holistic manner. And Cameron truly is someone I look up to so much in his understanding of plants and planets and all the things that make up the structure of reality. To say the least, he is wise beyond his years, but he's probably been doing this for a long, long time before this current year on Earth. So I hope that you enjoy this conversation. As always, if you want to join our Modern Magic membership community and have early access to content, YouTube videos, exclusive content and live streams with me. All that is down below. But we'll meet back up at the end. Hope you enjoy this conversation with Cameron Allen. Hey, Cameron, welcome to the Modern Magic Podcast for your round two. Really happy to have you back on for 2021.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back too. It's always nice to sit down and talk, especially when it comes to the planets. I'm excited. And there's just been a lot of outer planet stuff going on. So I feel like people can, if they weren't tapping into outer planets, it's like they are now. So yeah.
100%. It's really been this transition into the new calendar year has coincidentally lined up really well with some planetary shifts as well. So particularly just to think about 2021, what are some of the outer planet movements that you're expecting and seeing for the collective forecast?
Oh, yeah. So for me, I'm often going back to Pluto.
Yeah.
And Pluto is still on its own planetary south node, which that means doesn't can mean a lot of things. That's just what I'm looking at, you know, just like the scope of how the structuring of reality is changing, like very, very deeply, you know, even like the talks of like DNA level things being changed. It's just like really potent, but also just like Uranus and Saturn, you know, that's the biggest thing, honestly, at the end of the day. And then also for myself, since I've been learning way more about traditional astrology, just like, how does it feel for me to get away from Uranus ruling Aquarius versus Saturn ruling Aquarius, and like being able to observe that as a both and just like sorting that out in my practice more and more. So Uranus and Saturn, and then but also Neptune squaring the nodes. So like people thinking that they like people emotionally identify with their old beliefs, and that's an illusion. And then people emotionally identifying with the information that they're gathering every single day moving forward, and that's an illusion, you know. So like this year I've been a lot, or since Neptune has been squaring the nodes, I've really just been sinking into like, I don't need to believe anything, and every belief is an opinion.
Right.
You know, and just like allow myself to be present in the moment. Cause when I emotionally identify with my old beliefs or with information that I'm gathering in the moment, it could be overwhelming and it could just not be true overall.
Yeah.
You know, but the moment has truth in it. So,
yeah, I totally love that you brought up Neptune at that, like the bending of the nodes point, because I remember speaking on that last year, prepping for when it's getting close, like right now. And like, I fucking like, it's just, I really like that kind of transit in the collective is one where, you know, that so much of the collective energy is not ready to think of Neptune. Like Neptune transits often, if we're not prepared or aware of the possibility of what they can bring, can mean that we don't realize we're in them. Like we do not, it's not that. You're really good at articulating this, where it's not that Neptune is delusional. It's that it brings up the capacity for us to, like, it indicates us being delusional, but it's not that Neptune itself is like, it's not, you know, it's bringing up our own inner capacity to trick ourselves or do that.
1,000%.
With it at the nodes, it's like, I'm admitting, like, I don't know shit. Like, I don't know. I'm just going to sit here and I'm not going to. It feels so disresonant to take any really like substantial kind of like high ground right now. I'm just like, hands up, I'm going to do my thing, which with Neptune right now, I'm like, show me the way. Cause I don't know it. So yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. 1,000%. I feel that so much. I often tell people too, it's like a fish doesn't know that it's swimming in the ocean. It's just like doing its thing, you know? And it's like, there's things in the collective that we didn't know that we were swimming in, you know?
Yeah.
And that could be the collective as in so many levels, the world, and then you're like what nation you're in, your parents and the conditioning growing up, you know, so there's multiple levels on that conditioning. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought about having this conversation because I recently wrote for one of my papers about how there's one of the classes was on esotericism and the different kinds of spiritual awakenings that have shown up throughout different cultures, because despite different cultures, there's the same story of like ascent, descent, and obviously the ascent stories or the emphatic, like hallucinogenic, anything that is uplifting tends to be Jupiter, Neptune. And Neptune can kind of go both ways, but it tends to be more up. And the more descent or underworld rebirth is usually Saturn, Pluto. And Uranus can go both ways because it's more temporal than it is like plus minus. But that's what got me thinking, because you and, well, both of us with Capricorn placements have lived through quite a bit of these. But going through these and really thinking of how can we help people navigate the kind of lifestyle and mindset that can assist in some of these awakenings. So I guess we can start out before we dive into specifics generally. How do you think of the experience of receiving a really major outer planet transit?
Got you. Yeah. So with the outer planets, you know, the first thing I always think about is transpersonal, you know, and I think about transpersonal in the context of me interfacing with other people. So transpersonal is like, it is beyond me, right? That's where I'm like starting at. So it's like something that is beyond me. So it's something that I oftentimes am going to have to try to understand. And I'm going to have to, you know what? I like to say something that I want to have to give into, but it's like, it's something I might not have a choice on, right? So transpersonal can be what's happening in the collective right now in this very moment. And we're experiencing that. It's beyond me. I can't control all that, right? Also, what can be transpersonal is generational things.
Right.
So thinking transpersonal, transgenerational, but also ways that we can transcend our limitations, right? So Saturn would be the things that I have defined my reality as, and they're crystallized, and this is how I think things are. and I'm actually limited by this definition that I've created. Yeah. So how can I transcend that, go beyond myself, transpersonal, right? And then it can also, for me, like Pluto, it's like transmutation. It's like, how do I take this thing and turn it into something completely different where you can't even recognize it anymore on a more empowered side? And then like Uranus, you can think of transformation, which is like, it would be like a perceived upgrade. You know, you accelerate the process, you upgrade it. And then with Neptune, I like to think of translucence, which is like,
I like that word. I like that word.
Mm-hmm, 'cause it's like allowing the light, but it's still actually like, you know how people say like Neptune can be foggy. It's like when something's translucent, you don't necessarily see all the details, but it's like, you know, it's illuminating.
Right.
You know, so that's where I would start.
Yeah. I like your definitions of transpersonal because it definitely can mean generational. Like a lot of people of the same age peer group will be experiencing a similar theme. And it also means that our personal experience is part of that larger whole. Like, it's not that it removes the personal, but it's that it applies to more than just us. So we can define the outer planets being Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and then oftentimes Jupiter and Saturn, even though they're inner, they're slower moving. So their transits can be a bit more substantial as well. But I guess we can start out with Uranus transits, and either with personal anecdotes or just experiences that you want to bring up. How would you characterize Uranus transits, and then how to work alongside them and get the most out of them? Because they're pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with Uranus transits, with the way I work with people, oftentimes we're trying to tap into like what might be being repressed within consciousness, you know, because the repression would like Saturn would like put a boundary up and then push it to the Uranian function. And in the Uranian function, oftentimes we have subtle mental trauma there, right? It's the ways that we fragment from ourselves. Like, so if I'm Cameron and I define myself in a certain way, I might fragment parts of myself and put it into my unconscious, you know, because I'm afraid to like bring that into the reality and define things for myself and be my own author, which would be the Saturnian function. So yeah, most of the time I try to find out where is somebody not being authentic. Just keeping it lighter, honestly, it's like, where is somebody not being authentic? Because where they're not being authentic and uniquely themselves, those are the parts of themselves that they're fragmenting, right? So, and then also when it comes to Uranus, I work with people's nervous system, and I also work with what's called neuroception. So with neuroception, it's about like how our neural circuits are distinguishing whether a situation is like safe or dangerous, you know, and it is actually beyond our conscious mind very, very often.
Right.
Very, very often. And also with Uranus, I don't necessarily talk about it, but I work with it from the perspective of like Mercury being the lower octave and then Uranus being a higher octave. Yeah. And because Mercury is like, I can logically be like, I don't like this person because this, that, you know, but the neuroception that is Uranus, you're not even really thinking about it. Your neurons have a circuit in place. And it's like, this place is not safe. I need to go away from here. And then sometimes that's why we disassociate.
Right.
You know, it's beyond us. And that's important to know, because I also think that can really, really, really help us when it comes to removing blame from things. You know, it's like there's a nervous system, electrical nervous system around us that is like giving us information and informing us that we're not actually even attuned to all the time.
Right.
And the more that we can attune to it, the better we can work with it. So that also can be like thinking of the neuroception of like people on technology, right? Like you read something or you see something and you're just like activated.
Yeah.
It's like your nervous system is responding to this thing in fear and danger and not feeling safe when actually you're reading something. And if you take a step back, right, and even thinking of Uranus as like non-attachment, taking a step back and observe what's happening in your like environment and take a deep breath, then you'll be like, wow, like, yes, it's, yeah, people get triggered, and that's totally true. And also I'm inviting people to see this, like, you're reading something or you're looking at a picture, and there are ways that we can like regulate ourselves. Right. Like also thinking about Uranus and how it works with the electrical system, the nervous system, and how humans, like other animals, shake all the time, right? It's like when you see a dog or a cat get scared, they like go and shake, right?
Yeah.
Well, as humans, we don't do that. We don't do that. So it's like, it's really important for us to shake, shake stuff out.
That that really resonates because the big player for me right now is Uranus, specifically Uranus. The Mars Uranus conjunction at 6 degrees of Taurus will be happening exactly on my IC, and it'll be squaring like all my Leo planets. And I think it already is leading up to, because it's begun where it is the shaking off, where I think I was so triggered and so defensive to where it didn't stand out because other people might have blips of it. And for me, it was like constant fight or flight, constant. I mean, Saturn on the IC is like, the core is protection always. And I didn't understand that I was defensive. I didn't even understand what that word meant until I started blowing up and people were immediately like, you were so defensive in your comments. I'm like, this is me. Like, what are you talking? I'm defensive. Like, it was like, it took being shaken out of that to realize that my baseline was an unsustainable fight or flight where Uranus like blew the lid off. And now I'm like reaping the repercussions and being like, I apologize. I interpreted that as like a doxing attack, not, you know, a sarcastic comment. So, similarly, Uranus can sometimes uncomfortably if we're holding on, but sometimes really beautifully if we are open to the experience, it really, really blows the lid off.
Yeah, it can blow the lid off for sure. And then also thinking about how like I perceive Uranus oftentimes like from a consciousness perspective, it's outside of the current space and time or moment. Right. So like
nonlinear. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's nonlinear. So it's like we can see it as the mind stream, right? So any memory that the individual has, so we can even call it the individual unconscious.
Yeah.
Or some people will call it the individual Akashic library.
Yeah.
You know, if you're into that wording, it's just like all the information, the long-term memory from, and the thing about it is, it's like, I think people don't even consider how deep this can truly be because someone could be 5 months old and this might feel extreme, but it's like they could be dropped by their parent, right? Yeah.
And that's embedded.
It's embedded. That imprint is there.
Yeah.
And if someone doesn't go back and retrieve that from that space and time, right? Like that could just be there.
Yeah. It's in some of the courses that I've done, we actually learn a lot about the perinatal experience and how even before birth, which that was a big impact on me because my birth was very, very easy, but very fast. And I tend to work ridiculously quickly to the point of like, just like harm. And it resonated. So that's so true that, and it's proven with genetics passed on, like there's stored imprinting and it can take, like a shock to release that out.
1,000%. Yeah. And also it's important for us to remember that, well, not important for us to remember necessarily, but the way I look at it is like Uranus is the blueprint and Saturn is the thing, right? Yeah. So it's like, actually Uranus is informing Saturn.
Right.
Right. So it's like, that's really important to remember. And people who work with, like, if you can see auras or if you feel into your aura, that's your unique individual, like thing that you have going on. Because if you can see someone's aura, you know what's going on with them.
Yeah.
So like that energy field is informing the physical reality. And I just think that's so important. And I still haven't figured out how to use that with infusing it in like predictive techniques, but as far as like energy work and lifestyle management, it's just really, really important that we know those things. Cause when you walk by somebody, you can feel the electricity they give off, you know, it's subtle. Yeah.
How, with Uranus being so electric and so like liberatory, how do you then contrast it with Neptune and its dissolution qualities? Because that's actually a transit that I haven't experienced. It opposed my sun when I was a early teenager, but I'm not as, I think that you might be more, more all encompassing familiar with Neptune energy.
Yeah. And I have Neptune in my first house and it like is.
Yeah. Oh, it's on my ascendant. No wonder I can't talk about it. I'm like,
Yeah, I have it in aspect with like 1, 2, 3, 4, like 4 or 5 planets too. So yeah, it's pretty prominent there. I think often think of Neptune as more diffusive. Mm. You know, it's like, yeah, when you're like diffusing essential oils, it just like separates and spreads like endlessly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it create, like, it shows us the connectivity between all things. Yeah. And how, like, actually in reality, boundaries are literally illusions. They're not really real. And I don't, and I'm not saying that for people to like take that and not be responsible with their life, right? It's like we're still here in this embodiment for a reason. However, it's like we are all interconnected, and actually boundaries are representations of connections. And the more that we can like dissolve the emotional boundaries that we have, the more that we can feel our interconnectedness and be more unconditionally loving. So with Neptune too as well, I think of it as being the higher octave of Venus, whereas Venus, we must have conditional love because right, I have to take care of the things that I need so that I can feel comfortable and relaxed in this reality. And also something beyond that, which is transpersonal, is unconditional love, right? Yeah. Like I will unconditionally love you, this thing, the other thing, and compassion. I think of all those things, but you know, it also can just be ultimate truth. Like you were saying before, oftentimes people say it's about illusions, delusions, and it's not that it's about that. It's that we have unconscious projections onto reality that are not the truth. And yeah, since we unconsciously project onto reality and they're not the truth, when they get disillusioned, we feel frail a lot of times. And it's really hurtful. It really just is. Like, it's a really tough thing to be disillusioned, especially if you projected ultimate meaning into it, or what people call like a de facto God. So if you make your relationship the ultimate meaning in your life and then you find out it's not what you thought it was.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, or anything, you know, honestly, anything that can be taken away is an unconscious projection onto reality for me. The only way we can find ultimate truth is to be where we're at right now. And that creates a sense of timelessness and actually frees us from time.
Yeah. There's a tarot card, the Seven of Cups card that I think of with this, and it's like the Lord of illusion or disillusion, depending on if it's upright or reversed. And what I find with clients that get Neptune transits is that whatever they thought was the dream or the nightmare, they have a chance to either lie to themselves so much so that they are then like isolated for the rest of their life into that lie. Like they commit so hard into the decision to make something into something that the nightmare turns out being, yeah, they attach to that identity of that being a nightmare or the dream, even if it's harmful, or they get to release that and have a really beautiful, like, disattachment, like they learn about non-attachment. So it gives us the opportunity to either blur the boundaries in a liberatory way or blur the boundaries in a way where we actually hold on stronger to the lie and we create just a fairy tale out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think of Neptune as like supreme faith, you know, where it's like you surrender, like it's like something came through me like a wave and I don't have a linear logical reason for why I'm doing this thing, but is the ultimate truth. And I have the utmost faith in it. So much faith that everyone else can tell me that I'm delusional. And this imagination that I have will take me exactly where I need to go. I don't have to question it. Right. And that's the deepest surrender. And that is true faith. So much faith that I don't even have to explain it to you. Like it's happening and I'm experiencing it. And we have to be able to move out of our own way and diffuse what we think should happen in reality for the ultimate truth or for source, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, the prima materia, to come through in that way. You know, so, you know, it could be this like high contrast of like, it's like, oh, yeah, it's just a Neptune transit. You can either be delusional or you can become enlightened. It's like such a high contrast. Yeah. But, you know, but having that orientation allows you to be like, I can have faith in this thing. And I also know that I might not know. So when this perceived disillusionment comes, I surrender to that too.
Yeah. That's a really good message right now, is collectively with Neptune on the nodes. I think when this separates, and within when in years to come, this is not an aspect, I think that we'll collectively realize how big of either a buy into the spin, to where it's like just the amount of, even if you really, really get present, you can even see that even things that are objective truths in one sense are in a context where they can't even be understood for that. And so it's a huge amount of this, Neptune disillusionment and illusionment that others are buying into. And then there's also those who are kind of stepping away and being like, we simply, you know, cannot make blanket truth statements about things that are beyond words and beyond these things. So I think that especially right now, like, we'll listen back to this in years to come and be like, yeah, that was quite a collective Neptune transit.
Yeah, definitely. People. Yeah. And yeah. Well, yeah. I was going to say something else about that. it's good. Yeah. There's so much to say there.
Yeah.
Wait, one thing I will say, since it is squaring the North Node in Gemini,
yeah,
being mindful that Neptune corresponds to the lymphatic system, and making sure that your lymphatic system, like around your like lungs and your chest area, is just open. I mean, so the North Node being in Gemini, that would represent like the lungs. And then the South Node being in Sagittarius, I work more with the liver in Sagittarius. So just, even if we just like tap on our chest area, like around our lungs and our liver, just to make sure the lymph is moving there. Really, really important. Really important.
Yeah, a good tip there, definitely.
And then another.
Go for it.
Okay, cool. Another thing, because Neptune dissolves things, and Pisces rules the feet. So if you have any stagnation in your feet, like just like literally like moving your feet, getting in, like massaging your feet, yeah, and your toes to dissolve, you know, and I say to dissolve that. And also I'm like, what is the ultimate truth that you stand on? Right. You know, looking forward, is it the North Node in Gemini, this information that you're gathering? Is that really what you're standing on?
Right.
And then it's like, or are you standing on like your old beliefs of things? Right. So I feel like the Neptune in Pisces, like releasing your feet and standing on that thing, like that can be an ultimate truth for you. If you dissolve all the stagnation in your feet, you can stand on that. And also Sagittarius corresponds to the hip area. So if your feet aren't good, then your hips aren't going to be good. If your hips aren't good, then your shoulders won't be good. And your shoulders is Gemini. Mm. So that's just like a whole like thing you can work with, especially when you feel confused, lost, uncertain. What you can be certain about is what you stand on in a physical way. And your hips can be propelling you forward in a way where you can help hold your shoulders up high and be mindful and centered in that reality.
Right. Yeah, the feet thing I've definitely found really, really important myself. I remember when we last spoke, I was saying how in my meditation, I've felt called to put my hands on the bottoms of my feet. And I think that with so much ungrounding in the collective, that helps like tie up that circuit in a way. On a different note entirely, and one that I definitely have most familiarity with, are some Pluto transits. So how do you think of Pluto transits and those experiences?
The first thing I'll say, like when I think of Pluto, I like to go towards like thinking about like, what is my deepest spiritual will? What is my deepest spiritual will? And how has that been changed since I've been here on this planet or throughout my life? Also, I think about, to make it a less like spiritual concept, it would be like, what are my deepest emotional and psychological attachments? Because whatever, based off of what my deepest emotional and psychological attachments are, that is will make me like, I will go into circumstances and whatever, where I'm deepestly emotionally and psychologically attached to, that will make me feel empowered, or that will make me feel disempowered.
Right.
So if I am able to identify those things, then I can work with reality way more, and I won't have to feel so deeply hurt by these things that are happening, you know, because I find that even with Pluto placements, it's like the smallest thing to one person could be a Pluto thing to another person. Like, right. So I just think of it as like a Mars versus Pluto thing. Whereas like, if you're doing battle with someone, no matter what that means for you, doing battle with, you know, for somebody, it could just be like instinctual and they just do it and it's not a big deal and they keep it moving, going a new direction. But the person who's like experiencing the Pluto of it, they will never let it go. Like, it's so deep and there's such an attachment to it. And it's just like, oh, like, so just being mindful of those things is really important. And that's how I've been working with it with people. And yeah, just not holding on to emotions so deeply, or at least being able to identify it, because if not, then that will create death in your body, literally, because literally you won't be shitting properly, right? So it's like you're holding on to shit emotionally, and you will hold on to shit physically. So it's like being mindful of those things is really important.
Yeah, I love that description. Do you have strong Pluto aspects in your chart?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So yeah, I got like 6 or 7, something like that.
Yeah. Same. It's one of the big players in mine as well. And that feeling of like holding on and like never, it was similar to the defensiveness for me, where I was like, oh, I don't hold on to like, I'm whatever, because I didn't realize what it was like to not hold. Like, I had nothing to compare it to with the letting go. So it was like, what I thought was letting go was no, it was just everything was held on. So therefore there was nothing of letting go to compare it to. And then Pluto crossing my ascendant over the past 2 years was literally like, because I was not holding on to that, even though I was healthy, like my body in the very beginning, when I was holding on to all that, like did not feel well, like everything was fine per se, but digestively, I actually couldn't hold anything down. Like that was the thing, was that it was like, there was so much in my body. And so now I've been leaning towards body work as a way to release all that, because Pluto's going to bring that out of you. And, how do you see the more constructive working alongside Pluto? Because it's definitely not a transit like Uranus or Neptune that I guess you could say could be enjoyable. Like usually Pluto involves a certain amount of like objective turmoil to go through it. Even the really, I still say it's the most beautiful time of my life when I got to go through that. But how would you see the most constructive mindset or practices to use during that time?
Got you. Yeah. So when I think about Pluto, then think about, this is what I think about. I think about detoxification and healing and like perceived healing crises, right? Mm-hmm. So there's something that people can be very mindful of, that if and when you first start doing detoxification, you might have experiences that are like, oh shit, like this is really extreme and I feel very uncomfortable.
Right.
However, you're just removing the stuck gunk.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like always keeping that in mind, and also like keeping in mind what it means to be a phoenix, because everybody wants to be a phoenix till they ass burning up. Right. And they have to go through their rebirthing process. So everybody wants to be conscious and spiritual. And like, then you start going through that pressure cooker.
Yeah.
And you know, but like having the mindfulness to know that this is the process that I'm going through. And Pluto is asking us to say yes to life.
Yeah, that yes to life is so true. And it's funny, given that you were like, yeah, until you're like burned up, you want to go through it. Because after going through that, like during when I was in that process was when I was consuming so much spiritual content. And like, that's all I consumed. And I still incorporate those practices now that there's other kinds of content that I really, really like to go into. And it's been funny because just to some, I've got some weird like hate where it's like you've like become so worldly and like you're like not spiritual anymore because you're into like financial astrology and things like that. And it's like, actually my own practices are the most like aligned that they've ever been. Like I'm like so like my mantras, my thing, like so great, but I don't feel the need to like vomit that out to like that's incubating in me. So that's in everything that I do, where Pluto was getting out the need to have that power overt. It's like when you contain that within yourself, it gets out in the way that it needs to with others, I feel like.
Beautiful. I love that. And that's something about the outer planets. It actually is like, it's all pervasive. And what you can see, you know, it doesn't even really matter. It's just like, it's, yeah, it's everything is immersed in that, the spirituality, no matter what, no matter what.
Yeah.
What appears can be mundane or practical or financial, but there's also always spirit moving through, you know?
Yeah. I have connected with so many entrepreneurs who are so deep into their spiritual practices. Like that is so deep, and also some that aren't at all, but that they can't be, it's kind of like how life coaches are not the only people who are working on leading their lives. Like just because you aren't, you know, branded by a specific thing doesn't mean that you aren't benefiting from the tenets of wisdom of said thing. Which, yeah, I've been Pluto transit, Pluto crossing the ascendant was the most beautiful time of my life because it cleaned out all the gunk, quite literally.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do like when people are going through Pluto transits, I definitely ask of them if they're working with me to do cleanses that actually, and then, you know, I invite them to like push towards what we would call intensity. I know people, a lot of people like that word intensity in Pluto. It's like, it's just so true and real. That is the main signification of it. It's just like things get intense when you're trying to move the stuck stuff. And when you're trying to reveal the shadowy parts.
Yeah, it happens.
It must happen. Yeah. Right. It's like, you have to say yes to life and do that work.
Right.
And, you know, with the Pluto return coming for the U.S., it's like, if you don't want to do that work, then I don't know what to tell you. It's happening. So I would invite you to say yes to life and use that as a good context, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good context.
Out of all the three outer planets, is there one that you prefer the most to, or that resonates with you to work with the most?
Uranus. Yeah, Uranus, because I have had dreams where I've had dreams where things have come to me and just talked to me about Uranus and given me like nonlinear information.
Yeah.
And, you know, with my Reiki practice and how like Uranus is the blueprint for Saturn and like being able to modulate and shift and transform energetic fields so that the shape and the form that is created from the formless space and time can be integrated in a way that's really grounded and also just like celestial.
Yeah.
Very celestial.
Yeah.
So Uranus, but Pluto, I love Pluto so much because I've just gone through so many detoxification processes and also just learning about, you know, most like even thinking about my yoga practice and how like we think of, I think I've been thinking a lot about the nodes and knots and like gunk and grunt, what they call Dravya. It's just like the gunk.
Yeah. I know exactly. Yoga teacher training. Yeah. I haven't heard that word in a while. Yeah.
So like Pluto is the deepest nuclear power that our spiritual force can bring into this reality. And when it comes to nuclear power, if it's unstable, it will destroy all things. And if it is stable, it will power everything with ease.
Right.
So I like Pluto in that way too.
Yeah. That's really profound with that. Any final parting words that you want to send out about working with Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, either individually or as a focus for this upcoming year for people who are working with their transits?
Yeah, everybody just being mindful of whenever Saturn and Uranus are coming close to each other or when Mars is an aspect to Uranus, and thinking about how am I taking care of my nervous system? How is my interface with technology? You know, and how, because one of my friends was saying like the word technology means to weave, right? And also just thinking about like, how do I weave the idea of technology upgrading into my reality? Because I am a technology and there's spiritual technologies that can upgrade us and strengthen our nervous system and make us have more non-attachment to what's happening. And what I mean by non-attachment is not like not doing shit. It's like literally I'm taking a step back so I can see what is the best way to do shit. Right. Yeah. And I'm not being like excessively activated by it.
Right.
To where I'm actually draining myself and my unique gifts can't come through when I'm draining myself.
Right.
Because I have a specific thing that I'm here to do in this world and I have to be responsible for that.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's a really beautiful, beautiful way to think of it. That's always even if it's not, it's our responsibility in a way. It's always that agency. So if people want to work with you or learn more about this, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at CADream7. You can find me on Instagram at CADream6. And by the time this comes out, I'll have my website is CADreamPlanet.com. So CADreamPlanet.com. So yeah, you can see me there. And I've been doing like a lot of work around like what I call reframing the reality. Mm-hmm. So it's like using the outer planets and Saturn to be able to help people redefine what's going on in their life, you know, from the context of their specific individual unique blueprint rather than the conditioning in the space and time that we're in right now. Right. So that's really big. Also, if you type in Cameron Allen articles, yoga journal, if you type in all that stuff, I have a bunch of articles that I've written on my yoga practice and a little bit of stuff about herbalism too as well. So you can find me on all those places.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. For those that didn't listen, our first discussion was also really great. So I'll make sure to link that. But I thank you so much for coming on to talk about this today. And it definitely will not be the last conversation that we share.
Most definitely. I appreciate you.
What a grounding, informative, illuminating podcast to take place as I myself am going through quite the Uranus transit, having completed quite the Pluto transit, and am very, very welcoming and open to any adjustments now that this current collection of outer planet movements is asking of me this year. So I would love to hear from you if this spoke to you or if you have any transits that you particularly have been experiencing. Feel free to share this episode, talk about the transits and the experiences that you're going through or have gone through. Would love, love, love to hear from you. So in the meantime, the Modern Magic membership is down below. Would love, love, love to have you join. Growing at such a fast rate and in such a wonderful community. Lots of cool additions coming our way. Hint, hint. So, yeah. Hope that this finds you well. Sat Nam.